Since March 2009, the Pharmacy Podcast has been developing content monthly, weekly, and daily for the business of pharmacy. With more than 25 different podcast channels, more than 1 million downloads, and 30-plus participating pharmacists, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is the global leader in podcasting for the pharmacy professional. Find all of our podcast channels by going to pharmacypodcast.com/shows.
Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Pharmacy Podcast Network. This is the founder of the Pharmacy Podcast, Todd Ury. And what an interesting concept today. Everyone knows I am the pharmacist's number one fan. So when I know things are changing in the healthcare marketplace and the industries and what's happening with studies and use of pharmacogenomics and immunizations and the power of a pharmacist in collaboration with a physician in the health systems, the compounding pharmacist and the usage of oils and CBD and mixing of pain medications, topical. And one of the subjects that has come up and has been really interesting to me because of my parents in their church association in the 80s being coaches of what was known as natural family planning, scientifically known as that rhythm method. I had a good understanding as a young guy, a big nerd per se, about family planning and women's health, more so than any 8-year-old to 14-year-old should probably know. And frustrated my Catholic school teachers with many interesting, weird questions. And when I have read and have followed pharmacists who I just am so excited about what you're doing in the marketplace, when I read about pharmacists with their arms around their patients for women's health and contraceptive services and care, I got so excited. So I dug in a little bit and found really the leader right now, in my opinion, in this, Dr. Sally Raffi, PharmD. Welcome to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Thanks so much, Todd.
So I tell you what, and just our overview and talking before we began the recording, it's a funny story that I was telling you about myself and my background of how this has all come to be, but I've really believed in being a little bit more close to a medical professional and healthcare provider for individuals or families who are really wanting to either not get pregnant or get pregnant or just be safe in general or using contraception for other things that come up with women's health. And when I read some of your articles, the recent one in Pharmacy Times titled Pharmacy Best Practices for Contraceptive Care During COVID-19. And I was like, wow, now there you go. Elevated stress levels, possibly getting COVID-19. How's this impacting a woman's cycle and what you go through as a woman, and how is contraception going to be changed or impacted? So I have so much to talk to you about. So first of all, let's have the listeners understand. If you don't know Sally, let's hear a little bit about yourself, Sally.
Yeah, great. Well, hopefully there's a lot we can talk about here with access to birth control and pharmacies, and more specifically, like you brought up, during COVID. So a little bit about me. I've been working in this space to really expand the pharmacist role and pharmacies as access points to contraception since I was a pharmacy student. So I've been doing this work since the early 2000s, which is hard to believe it's been so long. But it's been a true passion of mine since I was a pharmacy student, and I've had the pleasure of really seeing my ideas come to fruition with legislative expansions and pharmacist scope of practice, and now getting so many pharmacists involved in this really rewarding work.
So just for the listeners to reference, in the show notes, we will have birthcontrolpharmacist.com. And Sally, you do an amazing job at just putting out information and just having a place for pharmacists to go for more information. But I want to reference that, birthcontrolpharmacist.com. Why do you have a passion about the pharmacist's role within family planning and birth control?
You know, as I mentioned, it started when I was a pharmacy student, and I was learning more about kind of the background in terms of access to contraception in this country. And I really felt like it was just so critical to a person's autonomy and decision-making around their own lives to be able to determine if and when they want to have a pregnancy. And as I learned more about these medications, I realized that this is completely within the pharmacist's scope of practice to be educating people about their options, helping people choose a method that works for their lives at that time, and prescribing them safely and monitoring. And with that, I just realized, you know, this is the perfect place. Community pharmacies are, in the communities. Most people live much closer to a pharmacy or visiting a pharmacy more often than a traditional healthcare provider. And so why not really empower pharmacies to provide this critical service to their patients so that patients really have options? They can go to the pharmacy, they can go see an OBGYN, they can go to a traditional clinic. We just want them to have options so they can pick what works for them and empower pharmacists to be one of those options.
So when I think of the education and pharmacology and everything that a pharmacist goes through at a basic level, kind of like the common denominator coming out, taking the NAPLEX, you're now a pharmacist, you license yourself in a specific state. And then I think of the specialty sectors that a pharmacist can dig themselves into. Is there a certificate program today yet created so that you could become a contraception expert pharmacist per se?
Yeah, we have a CE program that can be taken by students as well as practicing pharmacists that would provide that foundation level of knowledge and skills to be able to do everything from screening to assessment, counseling, prescribing, dispensing, monitoring of contraception. So we have that available through our birth control pharmacist website.
Excellent. Okay. So how does COVID-19 and or the stress of this pandemic and or influenza, the common flu, how is that impacting the aspect and the subject of contraception?
Well, there's many, many ways it's impacting people's lives right now, but specifically around access to contraception, many traditional healthcare facilities have had to really either close or shift their services to telehealth only. Other folks have, you know, trouble with transportation getting to one of these clinics. They don't want to expose themselves to coronavirus by being out and about. So understandably, they would rather limit exposure. And so the community pharmacy, I think, has really come to get some recognition for the value that we provide in the community. And people want to be able to go straight to the pharmacy to meet with their pharmacist for their birth control or obtain their birth control without contact at the pharmacy. And that's something that pharmacies can safely do and really help ensure patients have continuous access to birth control methods they're already on, or perhaps switch to something that works better for them during this time that they're able to use or initiate. And it could be anything from over-the-counter products, having better access to condoms and emergency contraception, to linking folks with hormonal methods at this time.
So it's not only pregnancy prevention, you're also getting involved in fertility as well. Is that the case?
Well, for the most part, contraception is used to prevent pregnancy, but of course it's used for many other indications like acne or painful periods or heavy periods. It can be used for some mood disorders. So there are different indications, and definitely during an IVF cycle, there are hormonal birth control pills that are taken as part of that. But the mission here really is to help ensure access to hormonal contraceptive products and other contraceptives at the pharmacy.
So what have you seen in really being a practicing pharmacist with the stress level of what a pandemic has done? It's new for me. I mean, this is the first time on the world scale that I've experienced something like this. And I have seen stresses in my own home and my wife and four daughters. I've seen frustration from our oldest teen of not being able to go out and socialize as she is. And I can only imagine just amplifying that of how many patients a community pharmacy is seeing and community members who trust that specific pharmacist. The very first thing that comes to mind, as you just mentioned, was having access. But the secondary part of that access is what I would consider the non-adherent side of things. And we all know what happens when you're inconsistent with taking a birth control, and especially in that pill form where you have to take that every day, and mm-hmm. what that could do to your system and messing things up. And so in your experience, what's taken place over this last 3 months with COVID-19 pressing on everyone's minds and the stress that it's created?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most stressful time most of us have experienced in our lifetimes. And the stress is not only being experienced, of course, by our patients, but also by the pharmacy staff, which is all the more reason that we want people to really be thoughtful about how they can continue to provide contraception care in a way that's safe for patients and for the pharmacy staff. We really realize it's two-sided, and we're trying to reduce exposures all around, right? Because if our pharmacy staff members get sick, who's going to take care of the community? So we know they're essential workers, and we want to definitely preserve that. Around kind of this COVID situation, one of the most unfortunate things, of course, has been loss of jobs, which is going to impact people's health insurance. And that, of course, will then trickle down to medication access and healthcare access, and things that pharmacists are really experts at navigating and helping their patients through those tough times by finding products that are more affordable or something that potentially is longer term. If folks are having a hard time with all the stresses of taking a daily pill, for example, that would be a great opportunity for a pharmacist to let them know that there are longer acting methods. There's a new birth control ring that's used vaginally, and the ring is good for a full year. So letting patients know about these new options that are now available to them directly at the pharmacy is a real game changer right now.
So under current law, in the state of Georgia, to obtain birth control, you have to visit the doctor's office, submit a blood pressure check, self-report medical history, and then only then do you get that contraceptive prescription, and the pharmacist fills it. And once again, putting the pharmacist in really a reaction situation, and sometimes not really being able to dig down into other aspects of that patient's health, that woman's health. And what's interesting is I know that talking to hundreds of pharmacists that when the patient leaves the physician's office and comes to the pharmacy, sometimes there's a difference of communication. Sometimes they're more open with the pharmacist and they start revealing other things happening in their life. So in that certificate program, what else is being counseled or taught to the pharmacist to help to uncover everything in place with a patient that is with a woman that is looking for birth control? And what states are you seeing leading the way in a pharmacist being able to administer birth control? And is it without a prescription?
Yeah, so I can kind of start by giving you a sense of the landscape in terms of how birth control can be accessed at the pharmacy across our country. So far we have specific legislation around either a statewide protocol or a standing order that authorizes pharmacists to be able to directly provide hormonal contraceptives to patients, which means they don't need a prior prescription. The pharmacist is essentially issuing that prescription. And that's now available in 12 states plus Washington, D.C. There are other states that have kind of wide open collaborative practice agreement regulations that are opportunities for pharmacists to pursue setting up a collaborative practice agreement that includes contraception. And we're seeing folks taking advantage of that for contraception access at the pharmacy level in Washington, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana. So we know that's happening too. You brought up a point about what's legally required in Georgia. Pharmacists are not allowed to prescribe yet in Georgia under any kind of a specific statewide legislation. However, The blood pressure screening and the physical exam, those things are really based on clinical guidelines. And we're also not only educating pharmacists, but also physicians and nurse practitioners and everyone that in order to safely prescribe and provide hormonal contraception, when we're talking about pills, patch, ring, and the injection, all we really need is a patient's health history. So there's a standard set of questions that get at the patient's history in terms of, have they had a blood clot or venous thromboembolism in the past? Have they had any breast cancer, liver disease? I mean, these are questions patients know the answer to. And also if they're on any other medications. And then on top of that, especially if the patient wants a method that has estrogen in it, there's a blood pressure measurement that's taken. But gone are the days when we had to bundle, you know, doing the pelvic exam, pap smear, and breast exam with contraception. Those are separate interventions that are really important for screening patients for cancer, but they are completely unrelated to safe use of contraception. So that's been a big kind of knowledge point in our training program for pharmacists as well as other healthcare professionals, as I mentioned. So that's something that we're really trying to spread the word. And that's really how we can justify pharmacists providing this service, right? If we needed to do physical exams, it may not make as much sense to advocate for pharmacists to provide this in such a widespread fashion. But in order for patients to safely use contraception, there's no diagnosis required. A patient can tell you whether or not they want to prevent pregnancy or use contraception for other reasons. And pharmacists can safely screen them with just a blood pressure check and health history review. So that's really why we're able to make the case for pharmacists being direct providers of contraception care.
That's great. I really appreciated you kind of outlining that because I've followed this in preparing to do this interview with you. I wanted to have some background, and I know that there are 12 states, including the District of Columbia, that have removed that intermediary, the physician, to have to do their, you know, status quo check when birth control can be managed by someone who understands medication better than any other healthcare profession, professional and provider. And so you, as long as you're asking questions and they're answering and there's not allergic reactions and there's not a condition that might be a red flag, as you said, if we're especially in this time of this pandemic when you can't get a physician primary care appointment and you can get in to see your pharmacist, it absolutely makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And you brought up the question about other services that pharmacists are providing and able to provide. And frankly, some patients don't want to talk about other things with the pharmacist, and that's okay. And others may. So it's going to be somewhat, you know, patient-centered when we're having these discussions. But in our training program, we talk about not only contraception care, but we also talk about, you know, STD screening and treatment. We talk about related vaccines like HPV vaccine that may be important for an individual's sexual and reproductive health. We talk about screening for human trafficking. We talk about the potential for lifestyle considerations, or perhaps somebody is in a situation where there's intimate partner violence and they need to be able to use a birth control method that their partner is not aware of or can't tamper with. So these are all considerations. Child abuse also we talk about in the training program. And I just want to emphasize that our training program, while we have specific training programs for the states where there are specific authorities for pharmacists, we also have a general training program because we really want to empower pharmacists to start having these conversations with their patients and really pushing the boundaries in terms of the level of care they're able to provide in their current, scope of practice limitations in their state. So take advantage of collaborative practice agreement options. Take advantage of physicians that you have good relationships with who might be open to exploring more collaborative practices. Take advantage of being able to advocate for changes in your patient's therapy or initiating contraceptives by having some of those conversations at the pharmacy with your patient and then serving as a liaison, contacting the doctor's office. There's lots of opportunities, or empowering the patient to go back to their PCP or OBGYN and requesting what they'd like after speaking with you. So there's lots of ways that pharmacists can begin to provide contraceptive care, even if they aren't prescribing it.
Sally, is there a disease state, hypertension, diabetes, that impacts the effectiveness or the usage of some of the more common birth controls?
Well, there are certainly a lot of conditions and disease states that make pregnancy higher risk.
Okay.
And that's generally our primary concern. I mean, pregnancy and the immediate postpartum period are generally much more dangerous to an individual's health than contraception. So for folks who maybe have pulmonary hypertension, have had a solid organ transplant, are on anti-epileptics, preparing for a safe pregnancy is much more important or much more critical to the patient's health than any potential risks that would be introduced by using a contraceptive agent. So that's just one thing that helps to put it in perspective for folks. One thing I always like to kind of share with people in framing this issue is we've all seen, you know, if you've ever been up late at night, you've probably seen those ads from the lawyers around, have you ever had a blood clot taking, you know, X birth control method? And there is an increased risk of having a blood clot when a patient is taking an estrogen-containing contraceptive method. But that's still so much less than the risk of a blood clot during pregnancy or the immediate postpartum period. So it's just, you know, the risks and benefits, everything has risks. But if you really think about, well, what we're doing is preventing a much more risky situation to begin with, it just helps to really put it in context.
So I know of some specialty pharmacies out there that focus on fertility and actually helping women and couples to get pregnant. Do you think that there's a future specialist for a pharmacist that could kind of take what you've pioneered and kind of built out, and we're seeing more and more states accepting the role of a pharmacist and expanding services, and especially this specific women's services? But do you see a specialist coming out of a pharmacist that could really dig into holistic women's health and in pregnancy and fertility and prevention?
Yeah, I mean, there's really so many different angles there, and we could have specialists in each of those areas. Certainly the issues around infertility are very different, and someone could specialize just in infertility. There's a lot of opportunity there for medication dosing and adjustments based on lab values, medication teaching, facilitating insurance coverage or other cost considerations. There's certainly plenty there in terms of medication management that a pharmacist could specialize in.
So what medication or medications do you see becoming more accessible to a woman for birth control? We know Plan B is now over the counter. Is there other medications that do you see becoming over-counter, which worry you because they necessarily shouldn't be and would need to be in the care of a pharmacist? Or is it the other side? Do you see an ability to make other medications more accessible to women?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of the work that we do at Birth Control Pharmacist is focused on increasing access in pharmacies and expanding the pharmacist role. But certainly there are parallel efforts that we are involved in to get more medications available over the counter that people can use to just, you know, plan if and when they have a pregnancy. You mentioned the Plan B emergency contraception products and the generics that are available over the counter now. That was a very tumultuous history there, getting that approved and available for people of all ages to purchase. There are parallel efforts to get another emergency contraceptive pill by the brand name of Ella, or generic Uliprystal acetate, also available over the counter. This particular pill is available as a prescription only product right now, and we are certainly training pharmacists to use their prescriptive authorities to expand access to that, or, you know, again, with other prescribers to get access to that product for patients, because it is more effective than Plan B in some situations, particularly if patients are more than 3 days out from unprotected intercourse or have higher body weights. So it's all about making sure that patients have access to the right medication that they need for themselves. So that, I think, is something we're looking forward to. There's also a parallel effort to move a progestin-only pill over the counter. So that would be a standard 28-day pill pack that contains a progestin hormone, no estrogen, and that would hopefully be able to get approved by the FDA for over-the-counter status. So patients would be able to access one hormonal method of kind of ongoing birth control over the counter.
So the other topic inside this subject is payment for the birth control over a period of time. And it confuses me why insurance providers wouldn't cover birth control for a woman who knows that they don't want to get pregnant for a specified amount of time based on what's happening in their life, especially young women who say, hey, I want to go to college for the next 4 to 6 years. I definitely don't want to have kids during this time. Therefore, I need coverage for my birth control for that 6 years, and take it at 6 months or 12 months or whatever. But you were quoted in a USA Today article kind of discussing that and why 17 states and the District of Columbia have passed laws that require insurers to cover 12 months of birth control. But I'm a head scratcher again and saying, why isn't it in 50 states and passed through CMS at a federal level that this should be coverage extended to women?
You're asking all the right questions, Don. We know that if patients are given larger quantities of their birth control supplies, they end up sticking to it longer. So when we make it easy for them to stick to their regimen, they stick to their regimen for longer, and they're able to achieve the health outcomes that they want, and therefore the life outcomes that they want. So, you know, of course, to those of us who are, you know, think with evidence, it makes sense. But from a policy perspective, unfortunately, it's not always about evidence and what's right. So there have been efforts in some states to require health plans to cover the full 12 months dispensing at once from the pharmacy, but it's a work in progress to reach all 50 states.
Well, that's interesting, yeah.
Not just the coverage for the products, you know, related issues since you brought up payment is, you know, I have to open the can of worms for payment for pharmacist services, because it's just such a structural barrier to pharmacist services, including pharmacist birth control services.
Absolutely. Which is why we have an entire series dedicated to PBM reform and how that could be a facet of what the PBMs would cover universally, instead of this state by state by state, which once again is confusing. Do we have human beings in all 50 states? What's the answer? Yes. Are there women in all 50 states, Senator? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. So are they going through the normal women's days cycle every 30 days? Yes or no? It's just kind of a, once again, a head scratcher to me that this is even an issue.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here in terms of why we don't have evidence-based policies. I couldn't agree more.
So I try to do as good of a job in digging into subject matter and not being a pharmacist. And I've absorbed enough information over my last 11, 15, 20 years in the last 15 years of being pharmacist fan to pick up tidbits of information. But is there anything that I'm forgetting in this interview with you that you'd like to talk with directly to our pharmacist listeners and to set the stage for the next steps in reaching out to you, or what they can do to learn more other than the birthcontrolpharmacist.com website?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talked about how pharmacists, you know, kind of in basically all practice settings, you know, you're seeing women, right? You're seeing patients who are of reproductive potential in your practices, and this is not a siloed part of their lives. So you certainly, whether you're in an anticoagulation clinic, whether you're providing diabetic care, you know, working in an emergency department, there's really an opportunity as a pharmacist to get involved in this space. And we encourage you to, you know, reach out, join our email list, follow along on social media, you know, take one of our training courses. There's a lot you can do to get involved, whether it just be adding on to your existing services or really carving out a niche service related to contraception in your practice. And I just, we've talked a lot about some of the restrictions and how pharmacists are trying to get more access to be able to prescribe. But I'd also like to celebrate the fact that we've made a lot of progress in the last few years. And we have over 3,000 pharmacies across this country now where patients can walk in the door and walk out with birth control.
It's amazing.
And that's a huge deal. I mean, in just a few years, over 3,000 sites. And so, you know, if all these pharmacies can do it, so can you. And we're here to help, whether it be with training or implementation assistance, marketing. We have a great website, birthcontrolpharmacies.com, that's really intended to be public facing for people to learn more about what does it mean to go straight to the pharmacy for my birth control. What does that look like? What type of conversation will I have? What type of testing will I have to undergo? And then how can I find a pharmacy that's offering this in my area? Because it's not available yet at every pharmacy. And we really want to make it easy for patients to connect with a pharmacist who is offering this service. So that's all that website is intended to do.
That's great. And I see at the section of the website where you're actually even at birthcontrolpharmacist.com, there's a place where they can order materials. And one of the materials is a little plaque that they can put out on their counter to let them know that, hey, we're a proud birth control pharmacy, really opening up the options to women who, you know, run at a pace that we all run. They're very busy, and sometimes it's hard to get to the physician's office. And there's qualified medical professionals in this community that could help a woman that needs birth control. So I'm glad to see this, and I'm glad to see that pharmacists are once again leading out the way in a very serious and needed service that now can be part of a community pharmacy.
Absolutely. And I think as pharmacists start to discuss and promote what they're able to do to help their patients in this space, they'll find it so well received and so valued. I mean, I get so many appreciative comments from patients. Like, I'm just so glad you were here. This was so easy. Thank you.
It's awesome. Well, Sally, I thank you so much for being a guest today. This is really the starting point. We'd like to invite any pharmacist who's listening to this that wants to learn more to reach out to birthcontrolpharmacist.com. However, if you are listening and you have other insights or other tips, or you are a community pharmacist that has a patient base that is exercising birth control from you, the pharmacist, and there's other things that you'd like to provide, we'd like to test this subject as something that can be extended through the Pharmacy Podcast Network, as well as educating physicians that are listening in, nurses that are listening in, or even if you're a consumer and you're listening to this podcast right now, realize that your community pharmacy has some services that you may not have known of, and access this website so that you can look up to see if your state is enabling a pharmacist to become your birth control provider. And Sally, this has been awesome. I'm a fan of yours and what you're doing, and advocating the role of the pharmacist is expanding. So I'm clapping without clapping.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you about this. Thank you so much.
You were listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Nation. We were on with Dr. Sally Raffi regarding birth control. Find more at birthcontrolpharmacist.com. And as always, I thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.